of a place where you could catch an abundance of fish, guaranteed, more than you'd ever caught before. Would you go? Would you go? Yep, somebody would. Well, that's what we're going to do this morning as we're looking for the big catch from God's word. Let's go fishing. Let's pray first. God, thank you. Thank you for calling us, for choosing us, and for allowing us the privilege of being fishers of men. Bring your word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11 is our reading this morning. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. I told you last week, I warned you last week, that there might be a little overlapping in these sermons. If in case you're sitting here this morning and you were here last week, and you say, "I've heard this one before." Yes, but from a different perspective. So if you'll just hang on there, we'll get to it. If you recall from last Sunday's sermon, if you were here, that Jesus calls us to follow him. He said, "Follow me." It means to abandon yourself, abandon oneself, and pursue the things of God, giving him first place in our lives. When you first decided to follow Jesus, let me rephrase that. When you first decide to follow Jesus, there is sometimes a tendency to wonder what you would be doing with the rest of your life. Peter and the other disciples didn't just follow Jesus around for 3 years and do nothing. A trip like that would reek of boredom. No, by willingly following Jesus, the disciples would also be signing on to being a fisher of men, or to fish for people. And so should we. But what does it mean to be a fisher of men? And what skills must we possess in order to ensure the best possible chance of catching others for Christ? The term fishers of men was not coined by Jesus. In those days, it was a common term that was used by philosophers to describe the work of the man who seeks to catch others through teaching and through persuasion. There were four of Jesus' disciples that were fishermen. That we know. It's likely that there may have been three more of them who might have been fishermen. But because of these four particular men mentioned today, Peter and Andrew, James and John, because they were involved in the fishing business, it was logical for Jesus to choose these words to use with them. Now, this example of fishing for men or fishing for people would not have been the only picture of evangelism or the spreading of the Christian faith in the Bible. Jesus also spoke of a shepherd looking for a sheep. He also spoke of workers harvesting grain in a field. These would have all been right along the lines with being a fisher of men. From our passage this morning, I want us to look at a few examples of some of the things that we can do to help us become better fishers of men. Now, recall from last week that Jesus was no stranger to Peter, as he had met him before and was a follower of him. Now we find him, Peter, Jesus, on the shore of the Lake of Gennesaret, that is the Sea of Galilee. Same thing. Peter was washing his nets after a long night of fishing. Jesus is nearby, preaching to a crowd that has begun to swell in numbers. They're crowding in around him, pushing him closer to the water's edge, maybe. Jesus steps into Peter's boat. Maybe he said something like this. Hey, Peter, do you mind? Can I use your boat? Again, if you can, would you just push out just a little bit so that we're not so crowded and maybe the people can hear me a little bit better? The preacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, said this: every pulpit is a fishing boat, a place to throw out your net and attempt to catch fish. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm throwing it out there, and I hope something catches. If we're going to catch fish, or if we're going to catch people for Christ, I believe that it's important to be available. If you're writing down, you can write that down. Be available. Peter has no idea at this point what Jesus is about to do that's going to completely change his life. But Peter knows enough about Jesus to make himself available. Our availability is imperative to being a fisher of men. Oftentimes, like Peter and the disciples, Jesus asks us to do things that are completely foreign to us or are uncomfortable. And many times we feel as though we are inadequate for the task that God has given us to do. Someone once said, God doesn't ask about our ability, and he doesn't ask about our inability. He only asks about our availability. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Regardless of what the task that God has for you to do to reach the lost, the Word of God assures us that he already has a plan to use you and equip you with what you need to accomplish the task. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Saying that slow, so in case you want to flip there, you might be able to get there. Hebrews 13, 20. Now may the God of peace, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. Jesus chose Peter from the moment he stepped into Peter's boat, regardless of what Peter's abilities or inabilities were. Peter made himself available and chose to follow Jesus as he pushed his boat away from the shore. In addition to making ourselves available, we should also see the need from our passage to be determined. Be determined. Be diligent. Whatever word you want to use. After a long night of fishing, we're told the fishermen caught nothing. Fished all night long, caught nothing. Peter, along with the others, were washing their nets and preparing them for the next catch. If fishing nets are not washed and stretched out to dry, they'll rot and break apart. These fishermen were determined and prepared to launch their boat at the next possible opportunity that they had. And I doubt that the thought of quitting ever entered Peter's mind just because they caught no fish that night. If I were a fisherman and depended upon my occupation to provide for my family, and I'd fished all night long and caught nothing, I may be disappointed. After one or two more nights of this, I might even got discouraged. But I don't believe that I would consider selling my nets instead of preparing them to go out again. Many people in our church are farmers. If you spent your valuable time plowing and planting and fertilizing, whatever you do to your fields, but you reaped nothing from that particular field, would you consider selling your tractor and doing something else for a living? Absolutely not. True farmers don't quit when times get hard, and neither do fishermen. Of fishermen, I've never seen or known someone who has a passion about fishing quit upon return from a trip where they caught nothing. They remain determined and they prepare themselves to go out again at the soonest available time. Why is this? Because they know that there are fish out there waiting to be caught. Likewise, true disciples of Christ are determined to follow through with the task that Jesus has given them, regardless of the difficulties that they may encounter. As fishers of men, we know that there are those out there who have not heard the word of God, and our determination in fishing for them helps to grow the kingdom of God. Jesus had a message that people needed to hear, and he would not be sidetracked. Although they crowded in around him, he didn't chase them away or have them all take three steps backwards. He stepped into Peter's boat and kept preaching. And I believe that Jesus' message that day from Peter's boat was as much for Peter as it was for anyone else. And Peter, he had a front row seat to the whole thing. He had a front row seat to listening to the word of God. Capital W, word, that's Jesus himself. The word of God. And even though he didn't understand at that time, he couldn't have all that was about to happen to him to be an effective, all that was about to happen to him to be an effective fisher of men, he would have to have true faith. You need faith. You can write that down. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. unbeknownst to Peter, in just a minute, he would have to exercise faith. And Jesus was preparing him for the big catch. At first, Jesus said, push out a little from shore. And then, as soon as the sermon was finished, Jesus said, Peter, let's go deeper. Let's go fish. If Peter wouldn't have been faithful and had faith from pushing out a little bit, he never would have made the second move to go deeper, and he would have missed the miracle. Now, Peter's reaction to Jesus here is interesting. When Jesus wanted to use Peter's boat for preaching, it wasn't a problem. But when Jesus wanted to use Peter's boat for fishing, then Peter begins to protest. I can hear him now. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. We've been fishing all night long and we've caught nothing. Besides that, it's a well-known fact that here in the Sea of Galilee, you catch fish at night in the shallow water, not in the daytime in the deep water. Jesus, before his ministry, was a carpenter by trade. But Peter knew him more as a preacher or a teacher, certainly not a fisherman. Basically, Peter's implying here that while Jesus knows about preaching and heaven stuff, he, Peter, knows about fishing. It's kind of funny speaking to the very one who created the oceans and everything in it. We do that. We do that. What Jesus was asking Peter to do was contrary to all of his training and his experience, but Peter obeyed. The key was his faith in the Word of God. Master, I can't see it, and I don't understand it. Peter says in verse 5, but because you say so, I'll let down my nets. Because you say so. And the results? It was mammoth. What better way would there have been to impress Peter, an expert fisherman, than with this record catch of fish that dwarfed anything they had ever caught before? I heard about a lady who went on a fishing trip with her expert husband. They're sitting back there. Now, I'm just putting my own things in here now because she didn't really tell me this, but it made it more humorous. I did everything wrong. I was too noisy. I was using the wrong lure. I was using the wrong bait. I reeled in too soon, and I caught more fish than he did. Without faith, we'll not be able to catch people. I can't see it, and I don't understand it, Master, but because you say so, I'll let down my nets. We should also see from this passage that we must be cooperative. Be cooperative. This song that we sang here, this campfire song, they'll know we are Christians by our love. You bet they will. We're coming up to that. We pray that our unity will one day be restored, and they'll know that we are Christians by our love. We'll work with each other. We'll work side by side. All the time. Some of the time. We'll guard each man's dignity and we'll save each man's pride. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love. I don't know who wrote that song, but I know who wrote this song. And what that's saying is what we should be doing. Be cooperative. In accepting the challenge to be a fisher of men, we must realize that we cannot effectively undertake this alone. We need God, and we need God's people. That's for certain. So much can be accomplished when God's people work together for a common goal. See, these fishermen, they use nets, not lines and hooks. They had to be willing to help one another and work in harmony together. If one is pulling this way and the other is pulling the opposite way, nothing gets accomplished. I'm not talking about the world, we're talking about us Christians. God's word gives us numerous examples of people who accomplished more together than they ever would have alone. Jesus partnered his disciples and he sent them out. Aaron went with Moses. Barnabas traveled with Paul. There are many other examples. And one thing that we really need to remember about working together as Christians is that people, those who are not Christians, those who do not believe, those who are skeptical of us as Christians in the first place, because they know that we're just all hypocrites anyway. Of course we are. We're sinners. People are watching us even when we don't realize it. Unfortunately, some of the same people that we're trying to win to Christ see us at our worst, when we're supposed to be working in harmony with one another. And these occurrences, they happen usually over very trivial matters, things that have no bearing on the eternal kingdom of God. Am I right? Or am I not? I'll take that coughing as a yes. A couple of weeks ago, at the baseball field here in Rowan, there was a decision that was made on a play call that wasn't in our church sponsored team's favor. It didn't go in our favor. And there was some grumbling that was coming from the stands, from the spectators, some of our parents. And I believe that they wanted us to challenge the decision. Jody and I were coaches on that team, and at that time, we knew that arguing a call in a coach's pitch baseball game in front of a host of parents would really jeopardize the bridges that we've tried to build here in the community, and they would serve no purpose except to give Satan a laugh. We must work together. Another thing that we see from this passage in being an effective fisher of men is the need to be patient. I had several conversations coming in here this morning, and in almost every conversation, it turned around where we ended up talking to, led by them, not me, some very points that were in the sermon this morning. I said, "Man, this is great. You're preaching my sermon for me, and I haven't even started yet." We really need to practice our patience. How many times did Peter cast his net into the sea that night, do you suppose? Only to be disappointed when the net came up empty, time after time after time. Generally speaking, yes, we are an impatient people at times. We can learn a lot from fishermen, whether out on the lake or wading knee-deep in a river. They're patient people. They may have to cast a lure over and over and over again before they have the excitement of feeling a little tug on their line. It's the same thing with winning souls and making disciples for Christ. It takes patience. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Jesus says in his word, going back to verse, 1 second. Eleven. He says to Peter, from now on, you will fish for people. You will fish. That verb tense, will fish, means it's an ongoing thing. It's going to take time. It's not a sprint. It's going to go on for as long as you live. It's a marathon. And if you've prayed for someone over and over, but there's no change, be patient. Keep praying. If you've invited a wayward child to come to church time and again, only to be disappointed when your offer continually returns empty, be patient. Keep inviting. How long had Peter been a fisherman until he finally made that big catch? For years, he'd been sailing and cleaning and mending. Any time you feel a bit impatient, ask God to help you remember all the times that others had to wait on you in life and in your spiritual journey. Be patient. Jesus will show up and there'll be fish. Be patient. In our process of being patient fishers of men, there may be something else that we need to consider. Jesus led and trained his disciples for 3 years in how to fish for people. They had to learn where to find fish and how to catch them. All right, this is where I need you to stay with me here now. This might hurt a little bit. A good question that we may need to ask ourselves is, what kind of bait am I using to try to catch fish? Once while hiking a mountain trail in Rocky Mountain National Park, I came upon a man who was fly fishing in the river. I sat there a while and I watched in amazement as he continually cast his line over and over, making the lure dance on the surface of the water. And after a period of time with no bite, he changed his lure and he began to cast his line again. And within a matter of minutes, he caught a nice rainbow trout. Sometimes, the fish just aren't biting where we're casting, because they're just not hungry. Sometimes, people don't respond positively to what we have to say. If you're out on the lake and the fish aren't interested in what you have to offer them, you can look at it two ways. It's a big lake. It's okay to give those ones a break and go fish someplace else. But sometimes, I'm ashamed to say this, Sometimes we may be using bait that just isn't very appealing to a lost world. If the bait that we are using is bitter, judgmental, condescending, we may never catch fish. I've never known anyone to come to Jesus. Personally, I've never seen anyone come to Jesus by having someone put something in their mouth that they didn't have a taste for. God has a tackle box full of amazing lures, appealing lures, and they're all stamped with the same word, love. The best thing that we can do to help us be better fishers of men is to show love. Thank you. There's no other way. There is no other way. These disciples, these followers of Jesus, fell so in love with him that they couldn't keep it to themselves. Jesus called the disciples, who in turn would disciple others. If they would have kept it to themselves, when they died, Christianity would have died along with them. It was up to them, and it's up to us. Remember that you are where you are as a Christian today, sitting here, because someone poured time and energy into not only teaching and training you, but specifically by loving you. And although there is no rule book titled Fishing for People, there is one prerequisite. Love God. Love people. Even if it means you don't always like them. But isn't that contradictory? Yeah, it probably is. And I know that it's not just me. God puts in your heart a person that needs him. You share Jesus with them, you teach them, and you love that person. But there are times when you just need a break. Anyone who's ever been married can relate to this statement. I love my spouse, but I don't always like them. Or is that just me? She's nodding over here. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You said it, Pastor. Preach it, Pastor. I love you, but I don't always like you. There's a humorous story of a good friend's brother who was pestering me one day when I was trying to get some things done. He's not a bad person. But sometimes he can be like that mosquito that keeps flying around your head when you're trying to get to sleep at night. You know the one I'm talking about, right? That one. In the middle of his pestering, he asked me, Mr. Brian, do you love me? Yes, I love you. No, really, do you love me? Yes, I love you. How much do you love me? Right now? Not very much. Now, please, don't any of you come up to me after service and ask me if you're one of those people, because I don't want to have to lie to you. So what are all these different love lures that God has in his tackle box? We can get our answer from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can turn there if you want. Some of you may already know it. It's called the love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. You've heard that before, right? Well, I'm going to read that same passage this morning from the Message. There's some words in that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love chapter, that we'd have to get a dictionary to kind of figure out what it means. So this Message kind of puts it in a little bit clearer text for us. Here it goes. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it does not have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel while others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth. Love puts up with anything. Love trusts God always. Love always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. So what does all this mean? It means it's not easy catching fish. Last Sunday, we learned that Jesus chose us to follow him and to be his disciples. And when we do, we have one mission: to go fish and make other disciples. Okay, here's the big catch for today. By faith, you have made yourself available to allow God to work in you and through you. And because Jesus has commanded you to fish for people, everything that you need to spread the message of his kingdom around the world is already available to you. Fall in love with Jesus and love people. Develop a daily personal relationship with Christ on such a deep level that his love will spill over into others' lives through you. What do you say? Let's go fishing. God, we give you thanks for this wonderful morning. As our worship team comes to close us out today, we give you thanks. Give you thanks for the laughter. We give you thanks for the tears. We give you thanks for challenging us, teaching us and showing us and opening our eyes to how we can do it better. You, as the holy God, as the loving God, you've given us the perfect examples. When we get into your word and we share your word, your love with others, there's no mistaking that. If some fish doesn't want to take that, that's okay. That's on them. But Lord, help us. Help us to be better fishers of men, fishers of people. Help us to love as you have loved and sent your Son to die for our sins. We give you this day. We pray that it be a wonderful day, Lord, that you bless us indeed, and help us to be a blessing to others. Amen.